Hey everyone, welcome to the Slingshot Group podcast. I'm your host, Tim Foote, CEO of Slingshot Group, where we build remarkable teams through staffing and coaching. And we're in for a treat today. Our special guest is my friend and fellow Aussie, David Smallbone. Some will recognize that name from his work in the music industry as a concert promoter, as an artist manager, and as a true entrepreneur. Now, he's got a lot he could be proud of, but he's most proud of his family, his marriage, his seven kids, and some of them you will recognize. Grammy Award-winning artist Rebecca St. James is his daughter, and his two sons, Joel and Luke, are the band for King and Country, also Grammy Award winners. Well, they have a story, and that story is the topic of a hit movie right now called Unsung Hero. We're going behind the scenes today, and there's so much to learn from the Smallbone story about how to love well, how to serve well, and how to stay on mission. So let's jump in. Well, David Smallbone, it is great to have you on the Slingshot Group podcast today, mate. And the time of recording right now is the week of the release of the movie Unsung Hero. And so we so appreciate you giving us the time because it's a crazy week for you. But David, for those who might not be familiar with your story or the movie, which is your story, your family's story, just share a little bit of a 30,000 foot overview of the story and what they're going to see when they watch the movie.
I grew up in a Christian family, loved by my parents, had a wonderful childhood. I met the love of my life when I was 21, got married 4 years later, really had an incredible life. But I was lukewarm, you know, like I was kind of going through, I was in the business more so than in the ministry. I wanted to be purposeful, but hadn't embraced it fully. And then at the age of 40, I did a really big tour in Australia, lost everything on that tour. And I went to Helen 2 years after that and say, hey, babe, I think the only way we can get ahead is go to America. And she said, we'll go for 2 years. And 30 years later, we're still here. We lived in poverty for those first 2 years. Best experience of my life. I saw the hands and feet of Jesus move me from lukewarm to passionate. Don't want to go through it again, but I'm so glad I went through that experience because I, the way of the culture, to me, it's the culture of death. The way of the church, it's the culture of life, the way of Jesus. And it's such a beautiful thing. And I had to have a wake-up call for that to happen to me, and I'm so glad I went through it.
So, David, it's so good hearing that overview, the story. And I'm just thinking of my own story in the midst of that. I remember telling my family that I'd in Tasmania, no jokes about Tasmania here, David, because Americans think it's cool. But I remember telling my family that when I moved to Sydney for ministry that I might go for five weeks, 2 months. Then when my wife and I moved to the US, I said, we need to at least go for 2 years. Now it's 22 years.
Oh, wow.
But just seeing this story and seeing it come to life on the screen, but knowing the story and the trajectory from Australia, knowing the family then, knowing the family now, and then seeing your son Joel play you in the movie. I saw a picture of the two of you next to each other, and it's just uncanny. To have any movie made around your family and your story must be so surreal, but to have your son playing you in the movie, what did seeing your story and your son playing you stir up in you as you saw the movie come together?
Well, you're a father, you know some things, and for my strong-willed middle son to decide that he wants to do a movie about sharing the hope in Jesus, about encouraging us all to prioritize family, that's what touches me in a deep place. It's all a bit ridiculous, you know, dealing with Hollywood is a fascinating world. They don't necessarily have our values. Luca came up with the idea. He went to a Hollywood producer about 4 years ago and said, hey, I share this story about our family every night in Compassion when we're on the road, and it really resonates. Would you consider doing a movie? And almost immediately they came back and said, "Yeah, we'll contract tomorrow and we'll give you $6 million to make the movie." Now they ended up having another film coming along called Journey to Bethlehem, I think it was called, and so they pulled out. We bought it back, and it ended up going across to Lionsgate. My son's passion for sharing the wonder of Jesus, you being a dad, it touches us deeply. And that's, honestly, that's the crazy part about it all. I've seen it a lot of times. I cry every time I see it, you know, because what happens is little parts will show up that I haven't seen before. And I think the last time I watched it all the way through, at the end there, when they took, when the movie's finished and they look at what all the family is doing now, they show a photo of my dad, the last time I ever saw him. Wow. At Nashville Airport. And he passed away unexpectedly a number of weeks after, and I never was able to say goodbye because I had immigration problems at the time. I had money problems. It was 2 years after we'd arrived here. And so really, though, I come to you today very thankful. I'm thankful that I've been allowed to be involved with Rebecca, allowed to be involved with my children in sharing the most wonderful message known to man. Our core principles are loving on the brokenhearted, sharing the most wonderful message known to man to as many people as possible. And I think why I tell you that, I think that movie has done that. And it's an outlier to what we normally do because we're, as you know, all I've done, I started music when I'm 16, 74 now. I've been doing it 58 years. I can't do anything else. It's all I'm an artist development guy to a fault. I'm always looking, okay, how do we take this message wider? How do we communicate to the church? How do we communicate to those outside the church? It's a beautiful experience. And I'm so glad that my two sons, what happened, Luke produced the movie, Joel co-directed it. They're in the battlefield sharing this wonderful message.
It's interesting, David, just looking back over your story and as our friendship has grown over the years, it's always struck me that you have been so faithful to the call. And you've always had hope. You've always believed in God's faithfulness. And I can't wait for people to see this movie and learn from your story, yours and Helen's story. I mean, listening to Helen's book and her narrate it was just a powerful experience before the movie. But one thing that really strikes me is how facing adversity has shaped you and your family. And we see this all the time. We see leaders coming up against adversity, expected and unexpected, seen and unseen. So many leaders, and you know this, I mean, we've talked about it, so many leaders in nonprofit, faith-based organizations and churches right now are up against so much adversity. None of us like pain. And we don't usually choose to, we don't willingly always choose to face the adversity. But what you and I know is that God loves to use pain and trials to shape us and to draw us closer to him and to mold us into who he desires us to be, right? What would you say to leaders coming up against adversity?
I had two things that have changed me, I believe, in my life. One was 10 years into marriage, I was challenged by an artist that I was touring in Australia at the time to read a book by Larry Crabb called Inside Out. It challenged me to love my wife unconditionally instead of conditionally. I was 35 at the time. So I thought, this seems too easy, but I'm going to give it a shot. So, and my marriage was good, it just wasn't great. So I started loving her unconditionally instead of conditionally, and overnight it went from good to great. So that kind of empowered me. And then 5 years later, I lose everything. And we became very much a praying family. And what I did with the kids, and Helen and I did with the kids, we told them everything. We told them, hey, I'm not sure we're going to have enough food to eat next week. The kids learned a very strong work ethic. I think what happens here in America sometimes, a lot of parents are afraid to tell their children what's really going on. We told the kids what really was going on, and we became a really tight-knit little group. We ended up, when Rebecca's career started, we traveled the world together, encouraged each other, Joel and Lucan for King Country were really part of Rebecca's crew. They learned how to work together. We threw them in at the deep end, and we ended up, we homeschooled our kids. And so we've faced life together as a family. It's not perfect, you know that, but there's something about prayer, loving unconditionally. And the secret sauce that I had was when we were here for those first 2 years, I was close to a nervous breakdown. My mom had one at exactly the same age because everything I was attempting wasn't working. But I'm a pretty optimistic guy. But Helen didn't give up on me. She wasn't critical. I think had she been critical, and I suppose if there's any women listening, when your husband's doing it tough, make sure you encourage him, because I would have had a nervous breakdown if Helen had come after me, because I was shaking in my boots, because I basically got rejected by everybody in Nashville. Now, those same people, they want to be my new best friends now. You know, it's interesting the difference that 30 plus years makes. And I love to work with them, you know, like, and some of them, are, you know, some of them, you know what, some people you can work with, some people you can't. But I'm very much strong into forgiveness. Like all the people that did tough on me, they gave me a gift, because they had the artists that I toured in Australia given me money back, I would never have come to America.
Adversity has obviously shaped some beautiful things in you and your family. But take me back to that moment where things began to unravel. What did God show you and teach you?
I probably was shaking in my boots for about 6 years, but it made me, we became a praying family. I think we were still a normal family. We'd pray on occasions, but we prayed daily. And in a weird kind of way, it took Helen and I closer, because she, when I was feeling broken, my self-worth was an all-time low, she still loved on me. And the crazy thing is, I still remember we had this house there in Brentwood. We had no furniture in there for a while. And I remember going out and walking down the street with her at night after, you know, trying to make things work during the day. And Rebecca would stay home and look after the kids. And I just remember that even to this day, and that's 32 years on, that just being a beautiful time. And I think I gravitated to things that were close. And that was my family. And it was it was Helen, and then the church. I saw the hands and feet of the church in action that most of my friends have not. And I think something, you know, being in the desert for a little while like I was, we embraced the church. We went deeper in the church. The artist that I'd come over to work for, who let me go after 2 months, he'd introduced us to our church. That church loved on us, put food on the table. And then the best story is another church, Brentwood Baptist. Greg Nelson used to go to that church. He's Sandy Patty's producer. He came to my house one night after having dinner, went inside, saw we had no furniture, went back and told his Sunday school class. And 2 weeks later, that Sunday school class furnished our house. And man, you go through these things, you're changed forever. Like I'm told by my kids, I'm not allowed to say it, but I'm cynical of the music business. I love the church.
I love that connection you make, David, and your deep passion for the church is so infectious, and leaders who are passionately pouring themselves into ministry and kingdom building work. But behind these leaders, and you've alluded to this, behind the leaders who are on stages and leading people are families that are an even bigger part of our ministry and mission. And it breaks our hearts so often to talk with leaders who from the stage, it looks like life is great, but behind the scenes, their family is in shambles. Now, some of the time this may be from their own misguided priorities or issues, but so many times there are mums and dads doing their very best, but yet their family is still dealing with overwhelming adversity. Talk to the leaders, the unsung heroes, who are trying to shepherd well their ministry and their family. What would your advice be?
I realized a while ago, I view what I'm doing similar to what your listeners do. I see what we do as being in the ministry. And so the enemy is coming after us just like he comes after all the pastors. And I came across this thing. There's two things that changed in me a while ago, because probably when I was your age, I don't think I had accountability partners. And so now I have 7 accountability partners, and I do deep life with them. There's nothing that we don't talk about. And I think probably sometimes, and you know better than me, Tim, but, you know, pastors, they're so busy. People are pulling at them in every way. You know, it's 24/7. But I think even looking at self-care, I think having people outside the church, outside leadership of the church, that you can talk to about the deep things. What I can tell you about my buddies, they have helped me greatly on perspective, because there's nothing in it for them other than they want me to be healthy and I want them to be healthy.
It's interesting, David. You know, we at Slingshot, we're all about healthy teams. This podcast is all about healthy teams, and we believe teams move mission forward. I mean, Jesus had a team. He set the example. But I think of the line in the family, in the movie, about the family. I mean, you've talked about the family throughout this whole conversation, but the line in the movie saying, look around you, David, your wife, your family, your faith, they're not in the way, they are the way. Your family has been the team, and they have, your faith has lit the way forward for you. And there are so many things that people can take away from your story and the unsung hero movie. What do you hope people take away from your story and the movie?
My hope is, per our core principle, loving on the brokenhearted, that a brokenhearted person we'll find Jesus. We were doing previews out in the road a couple of months ago, and I happened to see some of the comments for some of the influencers and some of the donors from radio stations who'd been to see it. And this guy made the comment that when he goes home, he's going to love his family better. And even that one comment said to me that the whole exercise has been worthwhile. And if it can go wider than that, as it seems to be, I think the boys will have achieved their goal. Just so you know, and your listeners know, I really had nothing to do with the movie. You know, like, they're my kids. It was Luke who went to the production people, and Joel directed it. And we really stayed away from having an influence. And I suppose to see our children committed to sharing this wonderful message creatively, it gladdens this old man's heart.
I love, David, that you say, you know, I really had nothing to do with the movie. That kind of sums you up, because you actually lived the story that the movie is about. So I think that you had something to do with the movie. But I just want to wind up this conversation by saying, everybody, go see it. And honor this story by inviting somebody who doesn't know Jesus. I mean, the mission to love on the brokenhearted, extend that for the Smallbone family, because I know that you have lived this out. And go to unsunghero.movie. That's where you can go and find out all about it. But take people along, support this amazing story. And David, I just want to say to you, thank you for not giving up. Thank you for keeping your eyes on Jesus and for loving your family well. Thank you for your investment in my life and leadership. And thank you for having this conversation today.
Tim, thank you for loving on the church. I cry when I talk about two people. I cry when I talk about Helen, because she's loved me unconditionally. And I cry when I talk about Jesus, because he challenged me to give my life away. But Jesus and Helen are a huge part of the church for me. And I love you guys. Keep up the good work. You, whenever I see you doing your work, you encourage me. I feel in our Christian music thing we get a bit off track. You guys are loving the brokenhearted 24/7, and it just encourages me, inspires me no end. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, David. Love you, mate.
Godspeed, Tim.
What a conversation. I so appreciate David, his friendship. Every time I have a conversation with him, he always highlights these things. On or off a podcast, he highlights his love for his family, his love for the church, and how faith drives everything. And there's a lesson in that for all of us. So please share this with a friend. Go see the movie. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, and stay curious and reach for the remarkable.